So you need another dessert?
Elisa, we're going to start and just do like the minutes and things. So go ahead and get dinner if you want. I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session for the City Council meeting of February 21st, 2023. Let's go to approval of the City Council minutes for February 7th. Is there any changes on those? I have to admit that they're getting so good here. There's no reason to, you know, I'm skim reading them at this point. I'll take a motion to approve them. Of course, Lisa's still looking.
I'm all eager to get them approved, and you know what? I better read it first, don't you think?
I'm going to start singing the Jeopardy song here, Lisa, okay?
Gosh, I have a lot of questions. I'm just assuming that we're just, that's fine. Yeah,
I'll make a motion to approve
the minutes of February
7th, 2023.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is action items. Are there any updates, additions, subtractions? Ken, the first item is about Safe Harbor. Did they didn't really ask for anything. Did they, are they going to come back to us?
They are going to ask for something. So we think they would like to have $10,000 as a donation, which we will put into our budget process.
Safe Harbor. I don't have anything on the action items. Is anyone else? let's jump back now to the regular session. Even though we're 5 minutes early, Corey's here. So, Corey, do you want to give us a report?
Corey's here, and Janet, also from the committee.
Oh.
And Mary would have been here, but I sent her to get my iPad. Should be back shortly.
All right. Good evening. My name is Corey Markosich. I am the chair of the Health and Wellness Committee, and I recognize most of everybody. So we kind of bounced around. We were going to do an annual report of kind of what was going on this year, and in our last couple meetings, we discuss more probably just a presentation to come and actually one, so you guys can know who we actually are. I feel like that we're brand new, and so some of you guys might not know exactly what we're doing. It took us a while to actually figure that out ourselves. So So that's kind of why I'm here tonight. I'm going to just kind of go over what we've done in the past year or so, right? About a year. And kind of where we're going to go next year, and then have some questions if you guys have. So this is our actually kind of what we, when we first all got together, it was interesting, I will say. Is that a nice word? So we didn't really know what we were supposed to do. It was, Eve and I was kind of asked to help out with this new committee by the previous mayor, kind of reached out and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in looking at this? I work in the behavioral health world. I run an addiction and mental health treatment center. And I've worked in that field now 16 years and done everything from the actual, I'm a licensed counselor, I don't do much counseling anymore. But I've done everything from case management to counseling to, I was just telling Ken, I was just up on the hill testifying for Carsonville. So kind of it in all through that area. When I got into this committee, I thought that's what we were doing. I thought, okay, we're going to do all this addiction stuff and all these things. And it was actually a good surprise that we had other people with other experiences that we kind of all brought it together. So we all had a bunch of brainstorming sessions that we all wanted to save the world, I would guess. You were there for a couple of them, right? And we had great ideas, but we had to kind of get them all funneled down and really get a direction of what we're doing. So this is kind of what we have done this year. I know, Mary, you briefly talked about this at the Christmas stuff, kind of the highlights of different things. It was even nice for me to hear that because I'm like, what have we done this year? And you were able to say these things, and it's like, yeah, we did some good things. So this is actually a list of the stuff that we've done this year. Our biggest one, I think, is the first one. We just kind of figured out who we are and what we needed to be. We also established our bylaws and got all those approved with everybody. We had a presence at the United Out Against Crime. We did that this past summer. We also, one of our first things that kind of fell into our lap was this partnerships with communities that care. And I'm sure most of you have probably heard of that, and it was a pretty good thing that we kind of, again, fell into our lap, and I think it's been good. I think that continued on from the previous mayor. That's where that relationship started. But we were doing two weekly classes. We were doing over at, just over here, right? Yeah, just over here at the elementary school. And it was great. I mean, it was full. It was actually more attended than we had thought that it would be. We also had a presence at the emergency fair, and we did the senior lunch brunch. I don't know if you have kind of a lot to do with that. And one of our other things that we've been trying, I think we're going to do better this year, is more increased of kind of some things on the social media. And that was another one of our goals that we kind of put together this year. So this is our five areas that we kind of came up with here. We were kind of, there was a shotgun approach. We didn't really know this and that. So we decided we got to have kind of five areas that we all focus on. These are the five areas: physical health, mental health, emergency preparedness, personal wellness, food and housing access, and then addiction. And then any other thing that kind of comes up. In our last meeting, we actually got more refined where some of us are all kind of part of each one of these different little subcommittees if we need them. So each one of these sections that we came up with some goals, and these are the goals. So this is the first one for the physical and the mental health. Complete an inventory of existing city open space for the parks and outdoor assets. Now, some of these you might think, oh, we've learned this too, but a lot of this has already been done or kind of started with other different things, and so we will be utilizing some of the stuff that's already been done and actually teaming up with some of the other committees to get all these completed. The second one that we came up with is to conduct 4 classes a year through communities that care, and we're on track with that, kind of going through on figuring out when that will be. And also to complete an inventory of the safe school walking routes and then trails and pathways, which we were talking last week, that we'll do with the Parks Department. So the next section is the emergency preparedness, and we made a goal to have social media outreach at least 4 times a year related to different emergency preparedness, and 3 times a year for the CERT training. And we've had some people come and present to us on the CERT training and different pieces of emergency preparedness. And again, I'll be honest, I didn't think that was going to fall into our lap of our categories of the what I thought we were going to do, but it fits into what our scope is. So the next one is the personal wellness, and we came up with once a quarter we're going to prepare things like our spotlighting outdoor and like one of our trails or different things that we have in the city. Second one is issue letters of support and encouragement to our different committees and different things. We talked a lot about this, at least helped us with this, that we're kind of didn't really realize that we were sharing some duties and different things. And so we will be working with them on different things, maybe even teaming up like some of the different fairs and different things. And also we're gonna do the Fight Against Crime. Again, that was actually a really good thing that you're a part of. And completion of the wellness survey for the regional state. For the food and housing, we're providing letters for encouragement for the city council, you guys, the city council and staff, and anyone else for the food pantries and different things that kind of are surrounding us close. And then this last one is really kind of my baby that I kind of have, that I wanted to really get, and there's already these out there, but I wanted to get this more for us, and maybe like on our social media, just some resources for not just addiction, but just mental health and in general, with just different things that need to get out there. I know there's plenty of that out there, but it never hurts to get more out there. So that is it. That is this great presentation that I cannot take responsibility for typing up. Ken was taking great notes and threw this to me, and I said, hey, no, it's great, I'll use that. So, do you guys have any questions for us?
I've got a couple for you, Corey. And maybe this is more for Chief Black. Do we have any sense of the addiction problem in our city? Is it surprisingly big, or do we?
We've briefly talked about that. I don't know. I will tell you, just knowing how it works and what I do, I mean, it doesn't pick and choose, you know. I think it's different in, but I would be curious to hear what you've got to say on that.
We do track the number of calls that have either an alcohol or a drug nexus to those calls. I don't have those exact numbers at the moment, Mayor, but I could get those to you. I can say anecdotally that we would not need anywhere near the level of a police department if it weren't for the addiction issues we deal with in the city, including not just the crime, but the mental health side of things and the overdoses. We're just as susceptible to that as just about any other city in the state. So it is significant. We're grateful for the support services that are out there, like communities that care, that are trying to address these kinds of things. And I'm appreciative that the Health and Wellness Committee has recognized this is a big part of the wellness of the city, is to try to reduce these kinds of instances with individuals and families.
A few years ago, I made a comment to one of our police officers, and I expected him to argue with me back or not, you know, but I said, yeah, if it wasn't for illegal drug use, there would be almost no crime anymore, you know. And he goes, yeah, you're right. And it kind of surprised me that he agreed with me.
Say that there's two sides. I mean, there is the side with overdosing, crime, and domestic violence, and things that it leads into. And that's kind of the part that is almost like the end, where they start kind of showing that they need some help. There's a lot of stuff that happens way before that doesn't even include law enforcement. And I would actually say, I mean, there's really no way to measure that, but I would say that that is probably a lot higher here than we know. Because when it starts hitting crime, that's when things are really starting out of hand. But it starts way before, and we live in a very decent community, and some of that stuff doesn't come out until they're arrested, but really it leads up to them.
The other comment I wanted to make was, and I'm like you, this was Len Arvey's baby, and he got it going and then went away. And I've always been a little nervous about how do we interact with the county, because a lot of these are county things. And so I'll just encourage you as chair of this committee to make sure we're reaching out to the county and utilizing all their assets and everything they do, so we're not duplicating things and we're utilizing those things to the fullest extent we can.
They've been great. They've actually come to our meetings. We've actually worked with them when they opened the Teen Center at Woods Cross. I mean, we were a little bit part of that. And yeah, I actually, in my profession, work with Davis Behavioral Health a lot. And so it's been a pretty good bridge because they've got more, I mean, even their resource center, I mean, for the law enforcement stuff and the receiving center, where it's kind of like a ER for people for mental health. Instead of taking them to jail, they can go here and get some help instead of have to go to jail and go through the whole system. So, yeah, absolutely. Davis Behavioral Health is part of all this.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I just have one, but mine might be a little confusing because I'm looking at my notes here and I'm not. When we went to one of the conferences, they talked about QPR training, and I hope I'm saying that right. And I'm just wondering if you've discussed that at all or anything. It's for suicidal people. I mean, or somebody that's in that thing, and it teaches you how to recognize it and go through it. But like I say, I'm looking at my notes here, and I had QPR.com. I just tried pulling that up, and it doesn't come up. So I'm thinking.
I went to one that was in Salt Lake a few years ago, and it was really interesting. I don't quite remember what it was called.
Well, I know when the training we had, the conference, there were several cities that took it on, and they broadcast it and put it out there and had, you know, tried to get all the city staff trained and everybody they could in the city trained, so that they could act on. And I can't remember what the acronym stands for. QPR is what it was, but
I'm not exactly, I might know it.
It is QPR, question, persuade, refer.
Okay, there we go. That's what I had down, but QPR.com doesn't come up, so.
So most of you, if you have any kids in the school system, have you ever heard of the Hope Squad, or the Hope Squad, or the UT app, like the app where they can text in? If
yeah, that one's.
So there is, that is part of the whole Hope Squad used to be a principal, and he actually has gone through all these different. He actually had a student that committed suicide that was in like fourth grade, and it kind of shifted his whole career into going into this was years ago. And so he actually goes to schools, goes to cities, does all these different trainings, and it actually might be something we should look into. Suicide is, unfortunately, part of what's going on around here, and you can't prevent it, but if the more knowledge you can, we definitely can prevent some of it, and so any knowledge is better.
Well, that, like I say, this is just a discussion they showed us, and then, I say, some of the kiddies, the cities really embraced it. And when we talked about this committee, that was one of the biggest concerns we had, because when there's a suicide, we usually hear about it as council members. Somebody lets us know and tells us, and of course it's never feel good in the age range, like you say, from very young to, you know, older people, I guess. And anyway, that was just a question I had, if there's any kind of activity, or maybe you can at least consider it, some sort of training, and QPR is one of them that we heard about, and maybe there's others out there that are just as good or better. But.
No, absolutely.
And that is something that the Youth City Council has been trained in.
QPR?
We had the people from Davis County come down and do a presentation a few years ago.
And if you're looking for a group of people to work on this issue with, the Youth City Council would probably be very engaged.
So that was actually something that wasn't in our presentation that we just spoke about last in our last meeting, is incorporating more with the other committee, the Youth City Council. And we've actually made some assignments to kind of go out and meet with their different committees and invite them to ours, because now that we're actually running and doing what we're supposed to be doing, we don't want to one overlap, we want to know how we can help. And that's one of the reasons, instead of just typing out a report for you guys, it's one of the reasons I'm here tonight, so you can see who we are and ask us some questions. And so you can follow. Thank you. Any questions?
Really appreciate you, though, and all the work and effort you put into this.
Well, it's not just me. Like,
I understand.
I can sit in the cool chair, but I've got a good team.
Yes.
Yeah, can we recognize the rest of our team that's here? So Janet Welsh is on the committee, Mary Kay is on the committee, and we have Marty as well, who's come to several of our meetings and talked about emergency preparedness within the city. Emergency preparedness kind of fits under the purview of this committee, although it is not stated in our statute or our ordinance that that is an area that we focus on, which is odd because I know that that was Mayor Arvey's preference for this committee, but it doesn't actually state that to focus on emergency preparedness. But thank you to all of these committee members for what they've done. And I just want to kind of echo what Corey has said and tell the story of this committee over the last year. So by statute, we are asked to focus on eight different areas, or ordinance. We are asked to focus on eight different areas, and then as we sat as a group and tried to brainstorm these areas and what could we do, it really felt so massive and unclear where to get started or where we could actually make an impact. So as a guiding principle throughout the entire year has primarily been, where do current services exist so that we don't overlap? And that's been present in almost all of our conversations. And we've, like Corey said, already partnered with the county in some of the services they provide, particularly with the senior services, but also mental health services. We've also partnered with nonprofit organizations like Communities That Care and other groups that have come in and talked to us, as well as potentially through private entities as well. So like collaborating external to us and not duplicating resources has been a really important guiding principle. And then second, and Corey alluded to this, we want to collaborate better within our city resources. And so in the next couple of months, we are hopefully going to be attending a lot of your committee assignments and asking for feedback. What would you think the city needs with regard to health and mental wellness in the city from the golf committee perspective, or the senior lunch munch, or the youth city councilor, or the parks and arts, and looking at where can we get more feedback from other residents? And then also sharing our support. In our committee, we're tasked with looking at things like physical health and personal wellness. And as we started thinking about trails and outdoor activities, that really starts feeling like it's overlapping into Parks and Arts Committee. And so kind of sharing also our support for consideration of, hey, Parks and Arts, we really feel strongly about these kinds of activities that people can get outside and be active with. So as you're planning those, know that we're supporting you and potentially collaborating with some events or some resources. So with that question, or with that kind of background, are there topics off the top of your head that you as council members feel like the Health and Wellness Committee in my city should have, you know, top of mind, or something I've considered? The QPR training is a perfect example of the kinds of information that we would love to take back to our committee as we do go through this goal planning process again for next year, and put these as top of mind.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Alisa, one thing that came up with Wendy in the senior lunch brunch is that it would be nice if we could have exercising for the seniors. And we're looking into whether or not we can utilize this venue here on a once-a-month basis or something, so that they can do
Zumba.
Yeah, non-traumatic, I don't know what you call it, exercises. Low impact. Yeah. And then I think it would be fun also with the Youth City Council to have them come and meet the seniors. I mean, so that the groups within these groups are mingling, so that we build a community that's a little bit less typical, right? Just kind of think outside the box that way a little bit.
Does the Youth City Council meet during the summer?
Not usually.
Okay. That might be hard because during the school year, they'll be in school for the lunch. But if there was a summer, maybe they could come to a summer one or an after-hours event. That's a good idea.
And they can schedule something towards the beginning of the summer where they're all still organized, or towards the beginning of the school year where they'd be beginning to get organized.
Council member, the topic of a physically active population is overlaps parks and arts and wellness, obviously. Parks and arts focusing more on physical improvements plus major events. I think for starters, it'd be great to, if there is interest on the wellness committee, to support or help make bigger of those events, that's great. That's one. But more, I think a lot more important than events in terms of achieving the objective of a healthy population would be things like partnering with schools to have recurring bike to work, walk to school, I didn't mean work, bike to school, walk to school days, or figuring out how schools themselves can promote these kinds of things that then can in turn become hopefully habits. And, you know, help kids figure out how to, whatever, maintain their bicycles, things of this sort, which don't really lend themselves to, they might lend themselves to an event, and maybe there's some creative collaboration that we can do, that maybe there's an event that ties it together, but it's really support or leadership from wellness that actually carries the thread and you know, helps get the habits rolling. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And that's kind of to my point in the beginning, is I just thought, just because my mind is addiction behavioral health, you know, and so, yes, I mean, it all falls into, really, we can tie in everything into it, you know, and I that's kind of how our meetings in the beginning went. It was like, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this. And we got it down to the year, but now we're wanting more ideas. So, yes, anything that you guys can suggest, we'll fit it into our five.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, committee.
Anything else for Corey?
Can I just quickly apologize for walking in late? I had a work meeting that I was unable to reschedule, and the council knew about it, but I don't know if you did, and I don't want you to think I wasn't excited for this report.
You have to do a lot.
Don't challenge her.
Yeah. Thank you, and thank you to your committee. I am, you know, when considering the weather and everything, I'm trying to push forward here. So we approved the minutes from the last meeting. And why don't we go to council reports? Elisa, you want to start?
Nothing to report.
Okay. This will be fast. Dan?
I appreciate the evening that we had over at the road home. Not really the road home, but the roadhouse. But anyway, enjoyed it and appreciate those that came and those that weren't able to make it. I'm certainly glad to give your personal tour or whatever. I think our history is important to us, and I think we need to preserve it. And I've been working on it over these years, and I hope I can keep working on it. But that's probably all I have to report. Thank you.
Thanks, Stan. Lisa.
The golf committee met this week, last week, for a monthly meeting, and we received a lot of information. Golf course is doing well. It's just on this upward trajectory, which is delightful to see. One interesting thing from that is that we saw that of the competitive golf courses, other muni courses in the area. Tyler had done some aerial drone photographs of what the golf courses have been doing with regard to water. And our golf course was the very brownest. And the others were quite lush and green. So we followed the directions to be drought aware. And it wasn't as beautiful, but it sure was gratifying to see that we embraced that. The other thing is we were able, as the committee, to meet the new food and beverage guy. His name's Justin Brand. And so he came and discussed how excited he is to get the ball rolling. I think it was first week, last week.
Justin Field.
And then the senior lunch bunch had a wonderful luncheon. It was Valentine's, and they had cute table decorations and pretty good crowd. It wasn't as crowded as the month before, but it was a nice event. And Wendy, of course, has it highly organized. And Wendy, Janet Welch has been coming, and she's one of our new volunteers, and I thank you for that. I didn't mean to forget your name. I'm sorry. Finally, we're going to be getting into the Arbor Day, so we'll be doing the trees planning, and we'll have to start thinking about that as the weather starts to turn. We'll be probably doing that in April or May. That's all.
I understand that we've set a date for the open house of the clubhouse.
Yes, April 1st, which
April
is
Fool's Day.
Which is also the date we have set aside for the council budget retreat. They're not in conflict. Our budget retreat will be in the morning, and the golf event will be in the afternoon and go into the evening, and it'll be quite an event with even live music out on the deck and food, and a great event for the public.
All right. Thanks.
So we might all have to work a full Saturday, which would be hard for most of us.
One other thing, the Legislative Policy Committee meets every Monday, first Monday, for a noon meeting, and many, many cities meet at the state capitol and discuss legislation that's pending and positions that we take, those of us who are voting members on the LPC, and Ken and I are there pretty faithfully. The other thing is, I can bring this up briefly, there was a bill that's come out with regard to somewhat in impairing the referendum power. And what it is for land use legislation that passes by 2/3 vote, whether state or local, cannot be referred. And at the LPC today, I spoke out against it. I felt that it was unconstitutional and not good policy. There's another opinion on that, and that is that sometimes it can just ambush good decisions made with regard to land use planning. So I've been asked to speak on that, and I wanted to let you know that I will do that, but I wanted to know if the City Council has a position. Can I speak on behalf of North Salt Lake City Council, or should I just speak on behalf of myself about the constitutional right of referenda?
You can speak on behalf of me also.
Also me.
So I would be curious to get Todd's take on this. First of all, your position on that bill. And
well, can I get the vote from the others first?
Oh, well, I think that should be
okay.
Part of the discussion. But
all right.
Siri here. Let me know if I can help.
Okay, Siri.
I'm sure she has an opinion. Yeah. Mayor, I haven't formed an opinion on this yet. I will tell you, I've looked at this question for the last 2 or 3 years. It's been proposed in different formats. It was adopted last year in a smaller way in relation to some of the moderate income housing legislation related to station area plans. Some of those plans were given some additional referendum protection based on the council votes for adoption. I've litigated 3 referendum cases now in the last 15 years, and I felt like 2 or 3 years ago we had a pretty good handle on where everything was, and then our court changed completely. And so while the law didn't change, the people who sit there and make the decisions has changed fairly significantly. I still feel like there is, I guess I would call it a kind of a zealous protection for the referendum power of the people. And I think if I were forecasting, I would say that's going to continue. I don't think you'll see that significantly limited, even with the change in our court. But the two-thirds number that is in the proposed bill is a number that's consistent with the existing law as it relates to state referenda. And so I think there's some feeling broadly that if it's acceptable at the state level, why wouldn't it be acceptable at the same level for local governments? I could craft arguments on both sides of that question, and I think it's a really difficult thing to forecast. What I would tell you is, based on my experience, referenda are, they tear at communities when they happen in a lot of ways. They have the potential to impact citizenries in negative ways when they create emotion and feelings and everything else. And one of the things that I think is terribly difficult is being a municipal council in the middle of that. Either someone is trying to pass a law over you, or they are questioning something you have done, and it really puts you in a very difficult spot. Taking off my legal, I guess my opinion hat, and putting on my counseling hat, I don't see a ton of upside for a city being active in supporting legislation that limits the people's legislative authority. That's the counselor in me speaking to you. The land use lawyer says, wow, this would be great for you on a lot of your land use decisions. But the counselor in me says, I don't see it being politically a great place to be championing legislation that would try to restrict that power. So,
thank you. You know, before our meeting started, Ken and Lisa were on opposite sides of this, and they were debating it, and they both had great points. And so I was sitting there kind of not sure how I felt about it. I am a little, I'm a real strong believer in our republic and how, you know, the best example of democracy I've ever heard is three foxes and two chickens deciding what's for dinner, you know, and the mob rule can really take over. And so part of the beauty of our republic is it protects the minority. It protects people in that situation, and so here we are. We've been elected by the people to make decisions, and sometimes they're tough decisions. And I guess I'm uncomfortable with the idea that mob rule could get together and overturn that decision in the case of a referendum. But then, having said that, I don't know. It might be the best thing. So I'm kind of undecided, and I don't really get to vote about some of these things, but I would prefer that that Councilmember Baskin not represent the city. She's representing other cities in her profession, and that'd be fine if she wants to represent those other cities' positions.
Mayor, that's where I'm at as well, is I would prefer to have Councilmember Baskin not represent the overall council on this. Now, I'm undecided, just on the record for this. I think there are pros and cons, but so that's where I'm at.
I guess you want me to speak too, but I think I'm with Ted on that. I think it'd be best just to leave it alone, because I agree that I don't think it serves our purpose to push it, and I don't think it serves our purpose to deny it. I think we can let the state legislation do what they need to do. because I am kind of sitting on the fence the same way. It's got the pros and cons both ways. I like the people to be able to represent, but then I kind of agree with what the mayor says. We've seen mob rule in the past. We usually get past it. But, you know, it's one of those things that I'm just not sure we need to stick our neck out for, I guess.
So if we were voting, you get to break the tie here, so.
Just one thing. The difference between mob rule and initiative and referendum is that it is a direct democracy procedure which is governed by requirements that one must meet, thresholds for signatures, persuading the public, making sure that you have people who are petitioners are actually voting. There's a lot of protections in place. It's just not people going to the Washington, D.C. Capitol and storming the Capitol building. Now, that's mob rule. This is different. This is the civilized form of speaking out when you feel that your government does not represent you. Anyway, in terms of, I'll have to make a decision after I've thought through it myself. I'm not certain because I don't want it to be where I say, oh, half the council's in favor of this and the other half isn't. And at the same time, maybe I don't even have to mention that I'm with North Salt Lake, right? Because I've done this for practice in my law for 30 years. But if I could have, I would have liked to have, because I do think cities, that you as elected individuals should be fostering access to the ballot, access to decision-making, and having a response when you feel that your government is not representing you. And the way the current statute, the current legislature is configured in Utah, we've got 80% Republican. That doesn't mean that they don't vote across the aisle, but 60% of those are developers. And so at the current state of affairs, it isn't really across the board an equalized democracy in terms of what gets discussed and what gets voted on.
The three foxes are in the legislature.
Yeah.
The other question I had was, you'd made a question about maybe the constitutionality of it. And so that, I was hoping Todd would jump in and say on that, but that's a whole nother matter. If it's unconstitutional, then yeah, obviously I don't support it.
Well, and that's an open question, because the two-thirds threshold has not been litigated. But if the impairment to the legislative, to the referendum initiative power is so great, the burden is so high, then it would be unconstitutional. And already, we're second worst in the union in terms of having the ability to refer anything and be successful at it.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa, and thank you for your involvement.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
You're still welcome to use my name personally in your conversation, and you could potentially use Natalie's as well, saying other city council members share this opinion, even if it's not spoken of from the entire city council. And I would actually say if this were being called to a vote, I'm not sure I would vote yes, because I do think there's some real value in thinking, where do we want to put our necks out in opposition to the legislature? However, additionally, another thing that tears communities apart is feeling like they're not represented by their elected officials, and I think that we have a history of that with the state legislature currently. So the referenda, while it does really tear communities apart, so does an unrepresented legislative body that exercises overreach, which I feel like we experienced, and this feels like one of those. So that's my personal opinion, speaking as myself, as well as a city council member, not for the city.
I agree. I would love for you to use my name, however it will help. But I also think that when we take positions like this, we should be unanimous before. And I know that sounds crazy, because we don't have to be unanimous for anything else. But I just think that what we do right here isn't political. And when we step into the political realm, it's not just the five of us. It's like all of us as one. And so I think we just need to think about that. Maybe, I don't know, use my name.
I agree with that. I think having that as a kind of a criteria for when we choose to step out, having the council be unanimous is a really good threshold.
Thank you. All right, Ted, do you have anything?
Brief item. When we get email correspondence, I think it would be helpful for us to have a standard approach for how we handle a basic response. I'm not looking for a response point by point, but rather message has been received, it will be shared, your contact, we will be in touch with you when next steps are arrived at, whatever. There's some kind of basic standard response. My hesitation as a council member is feeling like, well, is it my role as one council member to make that response? That's also part of the problem.
I nominate Ted to be that person.
So, and I just wanted to have a short conversation about it, to see if there has been some practice through the years, or if there are thoughts by anybody on how we just help people feel like their correspondence has been received, has been heard, will be considered.
I agree that we need something like that. And I also agree that we should not be responding as one-offs, because I know I have a lot of opinions that a lot of you don't share. And so if I was like, hold on to your horses, because we're doing this thing you hate, the rest of you would be like, we're not doing that thing. So I think we need a standard response. So I'm agreeing with you. I think it should come from us giving city staff guidance.
I tend to respond to emails directed personally to me.
Sure.
And if they're to me and the council, I tend to not respond to them.
And I agree with what you're saying, because some of the responses are kind of technical, and we don't know how somebody's going to receive a very technical response going back. So I do think we need to let people know that we haven't ignored them. If we feel that we need to give a council response, we ought to discuss it at our next meeting, perhaps, and decide. Or if it's going to come up in the meeting and we can discuss the response then, too, I think it would be a good way to do it. Just so that, there's some things you get, over the years you get an email and it's obvious that you can respond to it, and you're pretty sure everybody else is going to agree with the way you responded. But if you get a very long, lengthy, lots of question type email that mostly are technical answers, do you want to respond to that? Because you might not be right on 100% of your response, and the rest of the council might not agree with what you're saying, and you don't want to make a decision before the meeting either. So I think that, we should have just a thank you for your email, and we'll be considered our next meeting or something to that effect.
Go ahead,
so,
Ken.
Thank you. So this creates a dilemma for all of you when an email comes across and it has everyone's on it, including me or Sherry, me and Sherry, or staff members. I think it's an excellent practice for perhaps someone at the city, whoever the city staff member is who gets that email, to respond, say, thank you for your email. We will assemble a response for you and get back to you as quickly as we can. I think that would be a great way to do it. On this specific email about addressing, I wanted to share in my manager report some of the things we've discussed, and I can do that when we get to that piece of it, but I do think that's a valid point, and we should be responsive to the public when we get those. And some of you could do that too, if you feel like you want to respond and say thanks for the email, and we'll discuss it and get back to you, or maybe you just want to answer the question, which I know some of you have done in the past.
This is kind of a close call for me, because local government is the best government, and it's the most accessible to people who have elected us. And so when someone writes to me, I want to write back. Now, I think maybe one solution might be to say, I'm speaking only for myself, and this decision hasn't been made by the council, or we've understood that this is what's going to happen, or whatever, to be careful that I guard against speaking for other people. But I don't, and I do think it's okay to have sort of a boilerplate message that says we've received your email. It will be forwarded to the city councils and the mayor, and we'll get back to you. But overall, I'll continue to write back directly when they come in.
And I absolutely was not suggesting that we shouldn't feel free to correspond as we think makes sense. But having, just to your point, if we have a quick response that shows responsiveness and that a message has been received, I think it can just take pressure off of us and have that person know that it didn't just go into a black hole. So,
yeah, I agree. And would encourage anyone that wants to respond to respond. And to Stan's point, there are times when I've written out an email response and then I like call Ken up and go, is this right? Am I getting my facts straight? So it's important to be accurate too. Anything else?
No, that's it.
With permission, I will just continue on and we'll go into our regular session. Is that fine without taking a break?
She needs to change tapes.
All right.